for tapes of end time meetings, deliverance services, our Lake Hamilton Bible Campground's publication, Voices from His Excellent Glory, Declaring the Kingdom. Writes Post Office Box 21516, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas, zip 71903.
Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.
Thursday afternoon, July the 9th, 1992. Family camp meeting being held at Lake Hamilton Bible Campgrounds, Hot Springs National Park, Arkansas. Glenn and Irma Miller are the speakers of the afternoon.
When we first begin to come into the understanding of deliverance, one of the very first tapes that we ever heard of anybody was a man named Norman Parrish from Guatemala. We didn't know who he was, and the tape was really phenomenal, and it was of very poor quality, because he didn't even know that it had been taped. If somebody sitting back in the audience had a portable tape recorder, and they had recorded his testimony, or his defense, I guess is what it almost was, before a body of people, wasn't it? They had brought him in question as to why, and explained some of these things, and his explaining of them, it became quite evident that he understood and had come into an understanding of the demonic realm. And that was back in the, when was that, 63 or 64 when that took place? Somewhere back there when the Lord brought Brother Parrish. So Brother Parrish really is one of the grandfathers of the deliverance ministry back before Derek Prince. So we're you, us, and all of you, really in a way, owe our gratitude to Brother Parrish, because he has been part of bringing us into the ministry that we have here at Lake Hamilton Bible Camp, even though at that time and way back, none of us realized that, what the influence that each one of us has on somebody else. Well, yesterday I made some remarks about pork, and I thought of something after I sat down, and so Irma's going to come here in a minute and give a testimony as to how we came into this understanding. But I will make a mention about pork, that pork has in it what's known as trigonosis. Trigonosis is a little worm that's almost too small to be seen, and it is one of the major causes of arthritis. Now, it is not arthritis, but you're told that it's arthritis, because these little worms, they're bigger than a parasite. Well, you can call them parasite because they live off of you. A parasite is something that lives off of you. If you get into your joints, get into the muscles, get into your ears, behind your eyes, even in your brain, and you can have one of these in your brain, and when they collect in a spot, they multiply and grow and become a hard knot by several million of them living together in a family. And you can be paralyzed from them, you can lose your eyesight from them, you can lose your hearing from them. And they come basically from pork. And when we first begin to understand this and learn about it, then we found that the Library of Congress has a publication that you can get from the Library of Congress. We used to get it for 50 cents. I don't know what it is now. And it's about trigonosis. It's what you'd ask for, write to the Library of Congress, and they'll send you a pamphlet which tells all about it, with lots of pictures that you might not like to see, from the Library of Congress. Now, our government knows all about this, but because of the industry that it creates, and also that the what it brings to the medical profession, why, they don't say anything about it. They've let it lay. But if you inquire, they'll tell you. Well, anyway, we came into an understanding about this by a strange way. And I'm going to let Irma come and tell you what happened and how we came to an understanding of this when a deliverance minister prayed for her and called out serpentines.
Well, I didn't know about this. I came down from upstairs. We've had some wonderful meetings upstairs. Tremendous deliverances up there among the ladies. And another really beautiful one today. Many, many today. But one that we have been praying for. I don't know where Carrie is right now. You hear? Yes, she is. Stand up, honey. She's been having a terrible battle. And this morning when she came in, she said, I made my decision. I want deliverance. What it takes. Praise God. Well, I think we've all been blessed, don't you? And helped. And changed. The Lord will change you if you'll let Him. He wants to change us all. Well, we went through all this the other day upstairs. I don't know if I want to face all of this again. But I was always gung-ho for deliverance once I found out that the devil had been doing all these horrible things to me. Then I was really after him. And I wanted him out of me, and I wanted everything out of me. And I still want more things out of me. And there was no books or anything about deliverance in those days, but this man did come from up in Washington, state of Washington, and he held a seven-week revival. He started for 7 days and lasted 7 weeks. Well, he would make me very upset some nights, and he'd make me very angry sometimes, and sometimes I wouldn't even go. I could really play sick if I didn't want to. The enemy, you see, will try to keep you away from meetings if he can. And I'd say, well, I have to get up early and go to work in the morning. I don't want to go. And then I would go. I wanted deliverance, but I didn't want it the way he was doing it. And it was really hard on my pride. It was really gross because he was so funny. Oh, honey, these people won't understand all this. So he had this bucket, and he would do funny. He was really a rounded type, end time minister. And one night we were up in a ballroom on the second floor of the Wyatt old hotel, really an old hotel downtown Los Angeles. And some nights he would say, "Put up the chairs. We're going to dance before the Lord." Oh my land, for a Pentecostal Assembly of God preacher's daughter. You don't dance. If you didn't dance, he wanted everything in one accord. Everybody had to do it. Sometimes he'd come in and he'd say, "We're going to have the slaying in the spirit tonight. Everybody's going to be slain to get a divine operation." Well, I could handle that pretty well. And our little grandson, he'd say, "Are we going to have the slaying tonight?" You never knew what he was going to do. This man, every night, whatever he taught on, we had to do. Well, he'd line everybody up that had never given a message in tongues on this side, and the people that hadn't interpreted on this side. He was just like a little kid, you know, so excited about everything. And if somebody said five words in tongues, oh, he just thought it was wonderful. And he would really encourage. He was an encourager. And then he'd run over to this side. Now he'd lay hands on them, minister the gifts of the Spirit, and you're going to interpret now. You give that what the Lord said, and they would do that. And then one night he ministered on spiritual trances. Well, this was pretty way out. And he happened to be the organist and a neighbor of ours and a friend of ours. And he preached on spiritual trances, Peter's trance and everything. And then he called this man up and he prayed for him that he would have a spiritual vision and trance. And then he went and sat down and he just said, "Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord." Nothing happened. This guy just stood there. And all of a sudden, this guy laid straight back, very easy, on the floor. So we all just sat there and then preached him. Then he preached some more and did something else. I think I think the Lord used him to just stir people up. Oh, I don't want to talk about the bucket. I couldn't stand that. I never liked to see people throw up anyway, but I remember this banker's wife that we knew, and she walked up there And she looked at him and said, I'm going to kill you. I hate you. Oh, my land, that made my blood run cold. And I was afraid something was going to talk out of me any minute. And I always like to be in control of what I'm saying. And he would just, so this, I want to finish this story. Is that all right? So this man just laid there under the power. And every once in a while he'd look over and say, man, praise God. And pretty soon he got up. So the preacher said, now tell us what happened. He said, well, I was caught away to heaven. And I was introduced to John and James and all of them. And they took me into a big room, like a banqueting room, with white cloths all over. And he said, is this the marriage supper of the Lamb? And Jesus was there. He said, no, this is my operating room. And he said to Max, this kid, he said, this fellow, what's that in your hand? And he looked down and he saw this sword, and it was all rusted. And Jesus said, you need a new sword. Your sword is rusty and you don't even use it. You don't even know how to use it. So he put a new sword in his hand and he touched him in his mind. I can't remember really all of it, but it was pretty way out, way back there in those days. and he thought he was really... And Jesus told him, now you've got to go back. And so he said he came down over Canada and he saw this huge serpent all over part of Canada and all over the United States coiled, and its head was in Florida. And it was showing its fangs. And I can't remember much else about it. That was during that time when Kennedy and Cuba and all of that. But that was pretty way out for me. Well, I wouldn't go down there to be prayed for because I didn't want anything. I knew I had a lot of bad things in me, but I didn't want them talking out of me. And I didn't know. And every once in a while, somebody in the services would just scream, a blood-curdling scream. And I was wondering, am I going to do that any minute? And I had so much fear. And I said, I don't want to be breathing somebody else's demons. I couldn't handle that. And the whole 7 weeks went by. Sometimes he used to do another thing. We had those big beehive hairdos, you know, really. No, worse than Pentecostal, it was just. And he would be preaching up and down the aisles. And all of us, and he'd be drinking some water, and all of a sudden he'd just slinging on some of us. And he said, I just do that, just watch you sizzle. I want to see how much anger you really got in you. Oh, I tell you, he was something else. But then he finally said, after it was all over, he called the next day, and I was really crying out. I wanted deliverance, but I didn't want it the way he was doing it. I wanted it my way, I guess, or no way. But he called and he said, the Lord has showed him that he wants him to pray for five couples and in their different homes. He said, and you are one of the couples, could I come? Oh, I said, by all means. And I was ready, you know, in your own little domain without the whole congregation watching. And he prayed for me, he prayed for Glenn, he prayed for me. And I've often, I had a clothes basket there with, lined with paper towels and the big towel down, and I had visions of vomiting up the whole basket full. And I didn't vomit. There was a big roar came out of me, and when it did, the Holy Spirit just come up through me then, and I started to pray in tongues, and I was, I had my eyes closed, and I was waving my arms, and he was down on two steps down from me, and I was up in the dining room, and he was down in the living room, and as I had my eyes shut, and I just brushed his forehead, and he fell over like dead. And I said, oh, my demons have killed him. I didn't realize it was the power of God. And after that, I mean, I was ready to be delivered up more and more and more. Well, we went to San Francisco to a convention, or Portland, And we wanted him to come, and I guess he didn't have enough money, so we said, we'll buy your train ticket, and you meet us there, and we'll pay your hotel bill and everything. So the last night, we packed up. We had a lot of books and a lot of tapes to pack up and everything. It's about 3 o'clock in the morning, and we wanted more prayer. And I tell you, all of you, if you get in every prayer line you can, because after that, I was in every prayer line getting more and more and more. And so he came against several things there, but I didn't really understand. I don't remember anything, what he said. I guess I was too sleepy and tired, but I was open to anything he was going to pray for me about. And then we went to bed, and next morning I woke up, and I just turned my head over, and I said to Glenn, what's a serpentine? That's the only thing I remembered of what he said. When I said that, up came, I just started to vomit straight up like a volcano and jumped up and ran to the bathroom and just, like gallons of green water and all kinds of foul stuff came out of me. And I didn't know what a serpentine was yet at that time. And I didn't care. I just wanted that out of me. By the time we drove back to Portland, from Portland back to Los Angeles, I had lost 10 pounds. But when I was vomiting that up, all I could taste was old pig that they used to cook for us and make us take it to school, and I couldn't stand the smell of it when I was getting, you know, my mother was making breakfast. She'd make us eat it, and I hated it from the time I was a little girl. And I was throwing up that, and I was throwing up old stale coffee, because when we had our typing company, we used to type all night, and we'd be drinking coffee all night long. And that's the two things I remember. And I said to Glenn, I don't want any more coffee, and I don't want any more pork. I had no idea. The following week, we went to the Hollywood, what's the name of it? No, that church, so we went to. I rode with him over to get the car fixed. And I went in the library, and I looked in the big dictionaries and the little dictionaries and everything, and it said a serpentine is anything that wiggles like a snake, seen or unseen, things that you can see under a microscope. And they had all these pictures of little serpent things. And I just started to praise the Lord. And it was from eating these unclean foods. But I still didn't understand. I just knew I didn't want it anymore, and I never did like it. So then, the following Sunday, we went to the Country Church of Hollywood. Never been there before or since. And on the book table was a book, Divine Foods, I think. Divine Bible Foods. And they had a picture of everything that is abominable unto the Lord. And I devoured that. Well, I wanted to buy the book, and I didn't have my purse. And I said, man, I want this book. He said, you've got more books now than you'll ever read. I said, I know, but I want this one. And he finally gave in and gave me the dollar or whatever it was to get it. Now I have to keep it under lock and key, or he gets it, and then I won't know where it is. I have it in a file cabinet. They're all out of print. But it told all of the unclean foods that we should not be eating. Now, the Lord wants us to have good, healthy bodies, because you can see how this is a day and night job, and for hours. And God has strengthened our bodies, and I give him all the glory for the strength that he has put in us and helped us to stand up under very hard circumstances of praying and praying for all of you people. This is a 9-day camp, and when it was Tuesday, we were saying, oh, it's only Tuesday. But now I've got all revitalized. I see all the people getting so much help, and I'm so happy for every one of you, every one of you. And every day, now we've got, this is Thursday. What do you want me to say? Can I sit down? Thank you very much.
Afternoon. Yes. Now, the next thing we're going to talk about is abominable things. And what happened to us to start to look into the abominable things. Now, that was the beginning of our study on unclean things. And from there, it progressed and progressed. And it was a sovereign act of the Lord that brought us into it. Somebody didn't come and tell us, like I've stood here and talked to you about them. But it was a sovereign act of the Lord. And then I had to go through and get a correct understanding of Peter's vision and an understanding of when Paul said that he could eat the meat He wasn't talking about, and Jesus, the reason Jesus allowed the swine to, the demons to go into the swine was because they were unclean. If that had been a beef, he would have never given them permission to go into it. They only allowed it because they were unclean animals. But then something happened to us that caused us to look into the things that God calls abominable. Now, in Deuteronomy chapter 7 and verse 25 and 26, it says, "The graven images of their gods shall you burn with fire. Thou shalt not desire the silver or the gold that is on them, nor take it unto thee, lest thou be snared therein. For it is an abomination to the Lord. Neither shalt thou bring an abomination into thine house, lest thou be a cursed thing like it. But thou shalt utterly detest it, and thou shalt utterly abhor it, for it is a cursed thing." Now, I don't know if you here have heard the story about James Robinson and Colin Davis or not, but James Robinson here about 4 or 5 years ago was in dire straits for his money for his TV program, and Colin Davis down in Dallas, who has been here two different times. He brought a whole busload here one time for deliverance camp meeting, and his wife is a terrier for demon chasing. Colin's wife is. Anyway, he called up James Robinson and told him that he had some antiques that he could have and sell to help pay on his TV program. So James Robinson and one of his helpers was going over to look at these things, and on the way over there, James picked up his Bible and opened it and started to read. And what he read was out of this 7th chapter of Deuteronomy. It just opened, and he read and finished up with this last two verses of this chapter. And when he did, the Holy Spirit pricked him and convicted him that the things he was going over there to look at to see that Colin was giving him were abominable unto the Lord. That it was an abominable unto the Lord. He turned to the man with him and said, "You know, I can't accept those things." And he read these verses and said, "The Lord shows me that we cannot accept those. That it's abomination to the Lord." So they went on over, and when they got there, he told Brother Davis that what had happened, and he said, "The Lord has showed me that I cannot accept these items." And what they were Chinese antique things, pagodas and antique, some of them was a couple of thousand years old, and dragons and these different things of Chinese Oriental worship. And they were worth about $1.5 million. And that was the street value of them then. And it would have been a big help to the TV program. But he said, "I can't accept it." So Colin says, "Well, what am I going to do with them? If you can't have them, I don't want them either." And he says, "Well, the scripture says to destroy them or burn them with fire." Well, he said, "They won't burn." So he says, "Well, then," Colin went and got a couple of hammers or something, and they busted them all up. And he put them in a sack and took them out and threw them in Lake Dallas. But 2 years ago, now there was a big article that got in the paper about it somehow, that what had happened. And there was an article in the newspaper about it. And then about 2 years ago, somebody scuba diving out in the lake found some of this stuff that he had thrown in there. And it got in the papers, and everybody was out there scuba diving, trying to recover abominable things that they had thrown away. Well, anyway, the Lord supplied the money from someplace for the James with his TV program, and blessed them for doing what they did. Well, anyway, that's that story. Now, how we came to understand the abominable things that the Lord lists here in the 14th chapter of Deuteronomy is, and I'll let Irma come and tell you about it, because it happened to her again. And it happened right here in town, and it's also on the back of the Arkansas story. But I'll let her come and tell you, because it's she tells it, it'll be better. Deuteronomy 14 is all the list of the abominable things that God says is abominable.
Oh, well, and the real estate lady's husband that sold us the property had a heart attack one day, and they called Glenn to come and pray. So Glenn ran up to the hospital, and, you know, an ordained minister or a minister, I guess you'd go right in intensive care. So he walked in there, and the nurses, people working on Lee, and he commanded death to leave and life to come in. About two times he bound death and life to come in, ministered life of Jesus to come in. And Lee sat up, said, "Where am I? What am I doing here?" And he wanted to go home. Well, they didn't want him to come home. It wasn't 2 days. But anyway, he was brought back to life. And so their daughter, that I did not know, a little card, and said, "I'm sick too. Would you please pray?" Mother had never told us that she was sick. I didn't know she was sick. So I put it on my little calendar. It's a little tiny card. And every day when I look at the calendar, why, I pray for her. One day I was going by her house. I knew where she lived. She was married to a lawyer between here and town. And I was going to town. And as I got up by the house, I felt the glory of the Lord come down over me like a tent. Thought, myself, I guess the Lord wants me to go in there and pray for her, but I don't know her, and I go in there. So, and I'm in a hurry. So I went on downtown, and I went to post the bank, and then I came back by the grocery store, and as I got down by the grocery store, the fire of the presence of the Lord came down over me again. And I thought, well, if I go in there and buy meat, it was in August, and ice cream, I can't stop. I better go back now and so I turned around and got my car out of the parking lot, and I went back. And when I got there, her mother's car was in the driveway, and I was very happy about that. And I went up and knocked at the door, and her father answered the door. And he was crying. I said, "What's the matter?" And he said, "They gave her up to die this morning." I said, "Die? What's the matter with her?" He said, "Well, she has cancer of the colon. She only weighs 68 pounds, and the doctor says that she can't live more than just a little while. And she hadn't eaten anything for a long time, and she was throwing up black stuff and having black diarrhea and everything, anything she'd eat, she'd just throw it right up." So he said, "Go back in the bedroom." Her mother's in there with her. And she was sitting up, propped up in the bed. And when I took one look at her, it flashed in my mind, when she looks like an old witch. She's the mother of a child 3 years old, and for a woman to weigh 68 pounds, that's pretty, just looks terrible. And I said, "I came to pray for you." And I took another look at her, and I said, "I can't pray for you in English, honey. I don't know how to pray for you in English. I'll have to pray for you in tongues." She said, "That'll be all right." So this squeaky, and she was a I never even thought about it then. I just knew I had to pray in tongues. I didn't have any way to understand how to pray for her in English. And I went over, and this power of God was coming down like a shaft. It came down through here and out this hand. And when I put my hand on her head and prayed in tongues, just not too many lines or sentences. And then I just held my hand there and let that fire just come down through. And I said, "Coming into you to heal you, honey. Just take it in. And so she was doing the best she could. And when I turned around, on behind, there were huge pictures that big of owls. And I heard myself say, "Those are making you sick." She said, "That one over there, that big one over there, he's angry. He's looking mean at me right now." And I said, "Yeah, and he's the king in here." And I had no idea why I was saying it or what I was saying. And I said, "You've got to get rid of these." And see, I didn't know about this scripture. A lot of things happen to us, and we got to look in the Bible and see what in the world that the Lord's trying to show us. So she said, so her mother said, "You stay here, Irma, with her, and I'm going to take the little girl, and we'll go home. And you stay here for a little while." And so her mother left, and pretty soon her husband called. He had got the word from the clinic. And she said, "I want to go out for dinner tonight." He said, "Well, what do you mean?" She says, "Miss Bella came by and prayed for me, and I'm healed, and I want to go out for dinner tonight." And he said, "Well, we'll see about that." And he said, I'm in court, but when I get out of court, I'll come right home. So he came home, and I came on home, and I started looking in the Bible about owls, which is, it's in Leviticus 14, all these different Deuteronomy, it's in Leviticus too. And about 8 o'clock that night, she phoned me, and she said, I went out for dinner tonight. I said, what did you eat? And she said, a hamburger, french fries, and a Coke. Well, when I got off the phone, I said to Glenn, she better be healed or she'll be dead by morning, because if you haven't eaten all that time. But God began to raise her up. And she told her mother, we have to take these owls. She had them all over the house. They were hanging down in these mobiles. He'd walk by and his eyes would move. And finally, before I left, though, she got out of bed. And she looked at me straight in the eye, and she said, I believe I'm healed. And I said, I believe you are, too. And I said, can we walk around through the house? I'm like, anything else in here that you shouldn't have? And we went in the little girl's bedroom, and they had a great big frog with big eyes. And a frog is a symbol of an unclean spirit in the book of Revelation. And I understood that. And anyway, then I come on home. Well, she ate, and the next day, she told her mother, we've got to get rid of all these owls. And her mother said, now look, he'll put us in the booby hatch. We got to use some wisdom. And she said, well, I want him out. And she called me and she said, what shall I do? And she said, mother said we could paint and tell him we're going to paint and we'll take them all down and he won't think anything about that. And I said, look, at this point, you better tell him the truth. So she told him. And he took them out, and he took them in the kitchen and put them in the walk-in pantry. About 2 weeks, every day she's gaining a pound or 2 pounds, every day, eating, everything. Just, on pound 9. One day she called, she said, come down here quick. Mother's on the way. I said, what's the matter? And she said, I was walking down the hall a while ago, and something grabbed me around the waist, and I started to vomit again. I walked in the bathroom, and I started to vomit again. And she said, come up here. Then there's somebody back. Anyway, I had just spilled coffee down the front of my blouse because at that time we had moved from our offices uptown. We were in that white house up there. And I had run down to my house and made a cup of coffee. Coming back up, I had spilled it. And I said, I have to change my blouse. She said, no, come right now. No, I wasn't delivered from coffee, Clint said. And I went up there and she started showing us all these owls. And she said when she was the sickest that morning, that Amy, the little 3-year-old girl, went in the kitchen, into the pantry, and got the big one that was the king, the big picture, and dragged it down out of the kitchen and dining room and down the hall and put it under her side of the bed. And she was absolutely helpless. She couldn't do anything. She was so sick. So we got and she came in the kitchen, and she had all kinds of baby bottles made like owls. She had jeans with owls appliqued on the pockets, on the back, and on the knees. And I mean, it was a real phobia. And so we got it all out. We had a whole trunk load. And then they said, what are we going to do with it? And when she started to get a purse out that was real expensive that her daddy had brought her, her mother said, you can't throw that away. She said, I'm getting it out of here. They're making me sick. It had owls all over it. And so I said, well, why don't you take it out to Glenn? We had an old pond out here, and he put it down in the pond and set it on fire and burned all he could, and then he ran over it with the caterpillar, and we denounced Satan. And to make a long story short, she's well. It's been at least, we were here 3 years, so we were here from 74, 75, 76, and 77, and we were priced 1978 that it happened, because we were still up there, we hadn't built any. So praise the Lord is on the throne, he still wants to heal all of us, but we're going to have to shape up in every facet of our personalities, and in every facet, and I ask the Holy Spirit to turn the light on me, I want him to show me what's in our hearts that are so wicked. And that's all I'll say about that. The girl now has to diet to keep under 136 pounds. And She was here Thanksgiving, I believe, and I think she'll be here. Her mother told me they live in Memphis now, and I think she said they'll be here a week from Monday. So praise the Lord.
Then we had to begin to search and see why those owls and frogs had anything to do, because we'd never heard anything like you've been hearing here this afternoon before. Never heard a thing about it. Since then, we can tell you many, many testimonies. People who have been delivered and set free of different bondages when they have removed the abominable things out of their house. That the Lord says is abominable. So some of them I don't fully understand. All I know is that it happened and it worked when it was done. We had some concern with Barbie dolls and the Cabbage Patch dolls and another Care Bear doll. We've had some encounters with those, and where the demons have talked out of the dolls. Not only talked out of the dolls, but actually flogged the people. Cabbage Patch doll jumped off of a refrigerator and actually flogged the woman and talked to her. And we've had children where the dolls in the night, the demons in the dolls have talked to them in the night. And these things are very real. In days past, we haven't thought too much about it, but we're coming down to a time where the Lord is working in our hearts and lives, wanting to get us holy and righteous before Him. And to those who are desiring to walk before Him, and these things are in their homes or in their lives, the Lord is gracious to reveal and show these things set free from them. Now, we had Irma again had another experience about unbelief, and it happened down in Houston, Texas, at the Evangelistic Temple, when we were down there helping Derek Prince with a week's campaign that he had there. We were there at, having his books, and I was taping the services, and we were doing it for Brother and Sister Prince. And the last service was over, and we were getting ready to pack. In fact, I was packing up my tape recorders, and Irma was getting ready to pack up the books when this encounter took place that brought us to an understanding of unbelief.
I was almost there in the women's meeting today. There were a lot of really hard cases, and the Lord really delivered a lot of people. There was some very high up at the morning service, and the people where Brother Prince was staying. You can see how people can influence you to veer off of the course. And they wanted to bring in the head designers and interior decorators, because they were architects and their friends, but they didn't want any of this funny business going on. So Brother Prince preached on about Russia and the bear and I don't know what all, and tried to be nice, and they were all going out to lunch at noon, and he had told us they were going out to lunch, and then we were all going out with the pastor and his wife. Well, almost everybody had come out, almost, and I heard this horrible scream coming from the inside, so I opened the door, swinging doors. I didn't see anybody, but I saw all of them going out a side door. And I thought, well, I wonder who that was that screamed. And I went back to my packing, and another lady was helping me. And all of a sudden, a woman came out that had had cancer and was getting ready to go back home to Vicksburg, Mississippi. And they had given her up. So Anderson, MD Anderson, said, we can't help you. And so she was telling me about it, and she had come to see me every day. She'd come by the table, and I would encourage her and talk to her. And she started to cry, and I said, oh, come on, don't let that spirit of grief take you over. And when I said that, another woman came out this door from the auditorium, and she was dressed in a white outfit and was a beautiful lady. And she said, "She don't have a spirit of grief," and she screamed that same blood-curdling scream and fell down under the table, by the table. Well, we never had cast out any spirits before, except Brother Prince was with us and what to do. So I thought, well, I better pray for that woman, because she just laid there and flopped around on the... And she had big diamonds. She was an oil man's wife. She had big diamonds, and she was throwing herself down on the flagstone and writhing around. And the other lady that was there helping me, she was a Greek Orthodox priest's wife, and so she helped me pray, and we started to pray. And it's went on for quite a long time. And that spirit, I just hate for spirits. I didn't like them spirits up there this afternoon defying me. You could tell that, didn't you? Couldn't you? But he told me all kinds of things, what he was going to do to me, and came at me. But praise the Lord, the angels of the Lord are there to protect all of us. And so we were down on the floor, and we were praying, and this thing started to talk out of her. Said, "I've been here since she's 4 years old, and I'm not coming out. You can't get me out." I said, but Jesus gives me power over you. Well, I'm not coming out. I have no place to go anyway. I've been here so long, and I have no home, and you don't know my name." And so I didn't know his name, that was for sure. Brother Prince could have told right away, you know, what that was, but I didn't know what it was, and the other woman didn't know what it was. And we kept on struggling with that and having warfare with it, quoting its scriptures and asking for the blood of Jesus to cleanse, and it would laugh at us, and it was just real mean. And finally, we all just began to pray in tongues. "Oh, please come by with the musician."
"Please turn the tape over for side two. Thank you."
"Oh, please come by with the musician and the choir director." And she just laid as quiet, didn't move a peg. And the policeman said, "Oh my, can we help? Can we help?" And the director said, "No, I believe she fainted, but it'll be all right. They're taking care of her." And so we got out of that scrape. And so when we spoke in tongues for a little while, right out of my mouth, I heard myself say, "I don't know your name, but Jesus knows your name, and the Holy Spirit knows your name, and I command you to give us your name in Jesus' name." It said, "My name is unbelief. I kill the Christians. I won't let them believe they're healed. I kill more Christians than death gets, because I won't let them believe they are healed." And I have seen a lot of people get healed, and in 3 or 4 days they lose their healing, haven't you? Has that ever happened to you? So we started commanding it to come out, and he finally came out. And then we asked her, "What happened to you when you were 4 years old?" And she said, "Well, there was a mad dog in our front yard, and my brother and I were out on the porch playing, and my mother grabbed us and just literally threw us in the house and shot the dog. And it came in with fear. It came in with fear. And she would, every time we ever go back to Houston to the conventions, she always comes up and hugs me and says, "Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus." She said she was never able to believe that she was healed. She was never able to believe she was saved, and she just lived in consternation.
I thought it would be interesting to hear some of these things, how we've come to these understanding of these things. We've had quite a bit of deliverance here every day and every afternoon, and you hear about some of it here and there, but never all together like this. And I thought, okay. Well, that's true. My doctrine, my Pentecostal doctrine, kept me from believing, because I was told that everything was under the blood. That when I got saved, everything, I was delivered of everything, and everything was under the blood. And that statement that everything was under the blood was so built into me from the Assemblies of God and from Bible school and all that, that it, just somebody telling me, I could not accept it, you know, or believe it. So the Lord had to give me a firsthand show, you know, experience. And we were in Chicago at the Full Gospel World Convention at the Hilton Hotel in Chicago, and I can't remember whether it was Derek Prince or Oral Roberts. It was Derek Prince who had been ministering. Well, anyway, they asked us to, and I was over into the platform with two other men, and we were recording. We were recording the convention. I was recording it for the Full Gospel Businessmen. They were recording it for themselves. And at the end of the service, they said, everybody lay hands on everybody by you and release the Holy Spirit. So the three of us laid hands on each other, and I knew these men well. They're both saved. They both got the Holy Spirit. And in fact, one of the man that this actually happened to has been here one time, wasn't he? Several years ago. So as we laid hands on each other, Irma had gotten up and had walked up behind us. I didn't realize she was there for the minute. And she walked up behind us. And just as we laid hands on each other and started to pray, a demon starts to talk out of this one man. And I knew it was a demon. I knew it wasn't him. So instantly, my theology changed and I knew a Christian could have a demon. Because I knew the man. I knew he was saved. I knew he had the hope. But until that moment, I did not believe that a Christian could have a demon. So Irma walked up behind us just as that happened, and this spirit says out of him, it says, my name is Pride. And now it didn't scare me, it changed my theology. But it frightened her so bad that I turned around, I saw she was there, and immediately she was gone. She went, ran over to the elevator, got on the elevator, went up to the 15th, 16th floor, wherever our room was, went in the room. Now, at this time, she's on tranquilizers. She's been on tranquilizers since she'd had the nervous breakdown. And this has been about 10 years that she's been living on tranquilizers. So she goes in, runs in, and takes two tranquilizers, jumps in bed, and covers up her head in the middle of the day. It's not nighttime. It's in the afternoon. And when she did, the devil spoke to her. And you know the old Pentecostal cliche, wildfire and false doctrine. And the demon says to her, he says, you've got into false doctrine. You better jump out the window. Now, I don't know what jumping out the window would have to do with getting into false doctrine. But that's what the devil said to her. And the Lord, the Holy Spirit rose up enough in her to respond. And she said, no, I'm too smart for that. And she's never been bothered with suicide ever because she turned it at the gate and was gone. Now, back when this minister held these meetings in the Wyatt Hotel in Los Angeles, he came for 7 days. And I attended every single meeting. I never missed one single service. But I decided that I was in the services, and I didn't seem like I was getting too much deliverance that I could tell about. And I found since then that most of my deliverance comes, I'll yawn or cough, but to any greater manifestation of that is very seldom. So I decided I was going to fast for 3 days, and then I was going to have them pray for me. So I went on a fast for 3 days, no food, no water. And the night that it was over and I was going to pray for me, I brought me a bottle of mild lemonade to drink after it was over. I don't know why lemonade, but that's what I did. And when the service was over, about 9:30 or 9 o'clock or 9:30, something like that, they started to pray for me. But when they did, prayed for me for a little bit and commanded the demon to come out of me. And before it was over, they called it a wolf spirit. Anyway, that's what they called it. And pretty soon it started to manifest in me. Now, it didn't make any noise that I know of. Maybe somebody else heard something. But it started in the bottoms of my feet. In the bottoms of both my feet. And it started, I could feel it there. And then it started moving up my legs. And when they would quit praying, I could feel it right where it was at, and it would hurt me. And finally they kept praying, and it got up into my hips and up into my groins. And every time they'd quit praying, there would be terrible pain right where it was at. It came on up into my intestines, and they quit praying. It just felt like my intestines were being torn out of me. Then it came on up into my chest, and I couldn't get my breath. As long as they were praying, I could feel it keep moving. But the minute they'd stop, I would just like a band around me, it took my breath away. Then they quit, and it got up here by my heart, and it was just like my heart was being tore out of me. Just terrible. And then it got up to my throat, and they quit, and it would choke me to death. It was just like somebody had both hands around me, just choking me to death. Just a vice on me. And every time they quit praying, I tell them, don't stop. I'd say, don't stop, don't. And it took about 3 hours. It was about 12:30 when they finished praying with me. And there was a custodian that was supposed to lock up at 12 o'clock. And he came and wanted to lock up. And so they told him, they said, well, we'll turn the lights out and lock up. You just go on home. Now, I don't remember if he did or not, but I can remember him coming and wanting to lock up. And they told him that somebody takes care of locking up. Anyway, it kept coming up and up and up until I could feel it at the top, just right at the top of my ears. And then it came out of me. Came out. But when it came out, it left like a band right around the top of my ears. And that band stayed with me until Brother Worley came to visit us one time. He just didn't come for meetings. He just came. He said he wanted to get away for a rest, so he came and stayed here a week with us. And while he was here, I told him that band was still there, and I wanted him to pray for me. So there was Brother Worley and a couple others, and they prayed for me and broke that band, and that band left me. But I literally feel where that came to and stopped. I could literally feel that band that was around my head, and it was there for several years until, almost 15 years, I guess it was there. 12 years, anyway. It was there, and I could feel it every day until they prayed for me and broke it. Well, now, that's the two major deliverances that I've had in my lifetime. Now, I've had lots of other deliverances. I got quite a deliverance here this last, around Christmas time from the spirit of Santa Claus. Irma had read an article, and we were having a prayer meeting here, and she read an article about, in some place, about Santa Claus, about us lying to our children and it being a lie, and that we were perpetrating another God. And anyway, she brought it into the prayer to a prayer meeting here and read it, or was telling us about it or something. And when she did... And you see, I was Sunday school superintendent for 9 years in our church, and I had a big Christmas program and a big Christmas tree and Santa Claus, and I played the part of Santa Claus and all those things. And we told our kids if they weren't good, Santa Claus was going to come and bring switches instead of toys. All those lies we told to them. And Santa Claus knows when you're good and when you're bad. You know, that's taking the place of God. Omnipotent, all my present. That's taking the place of Santa Claus, or of God. That's a lie. And I had been partaker of all that stuff, never thought about it. Of course, we hadn't had Christmas for a long time. We saw the error of that, and that had never repented about being Santa Claus, doing all these things. So, she brought that down with us, so we decided we all need to repent and pray about it. So we started repenting and asked the Lord to forgive us about it. And I was the one that got all the deliverance in the group that day, that morning here. Was it morning or night? I don't know. Night, Saturday night. And I guess the others did too, but I got enough of it that everybody saw me get delivered. It really manifested in me. So these things, these are little foxes. They do not think anything about it, but God thinks something about it. The Lord does. And if these things come to your mind and they come up, you need to pray about it. You need to ask the Lord to forgive you, so that if there's anything there, well, it'll go. So tell them about the spirit of forgetfulness too. I know you have before, but let's do it here, and then we'll maybe pray for a couple of these things and have some supper.
Staying up half the night for all these days, and also fasting today. I'm tired. I'll tell you that right now. I got to get the tired spirits off of me. Well, Brother Prince was at our house, and he told me, and Glenn, he was there for a week, and he kept saying every day, I got to pray for you people, I got to pray for you people. And now this is a long time after we'd had deliverances. This was about in either 70 or 72. And he told us we were both under the power of a fortune teller, and I had never been to one, Glenn had never been to one. We just rode up in the church, and I said to him, I read a few horoscopes. I read a Gene Dixon book about the gift of prophecy because I was so hungry for something to happen in our church like the olden days back in the 30s, and we were so dead in our church, and I thought that was the answer. I gave it to the pastor to read, and I said, this is wonderful. I thought it was wonderful. And he said, well, he read it, and I said, what did you think of it? He said, well, it wasn't too bad, except I didn't like that snake coming in and talking to her every day. I said, what snake? I didn't even see that part in the book. I probably turned two pages or daydreaming or something when I read it. And so then he told us we were on the power of the fortune teller, and he said, it's coming through your mother's side of the family. He told Glenn the same thing. So he prayed for me first, and it was like a tent lifted off of me, and I could see better, hear better, think better, and everything. And then he prayed for Glenn, and I had more lifted off of me, and see, if somebody tells me I have something, I just said, pray for me, I don't want it. And I always say, if it isn't there, it ain't going to come out anyway. So I was just astounded about it. And about a few days later, Glenn's mother came over, and I said, do you know anybody in the family that's been to a fortune teller? And she said, oh, I have when I was 17. And I said, you know, Brother Prince picked that up on Glenn? Said he's under the power of a fortune teller. Oh, my, she hit the ceiling. And when she said that, that came right down over me again. It so startled me that, because she is so spiritual, I thought, and she is spiritual. She's 91. She still sits on the front seat and praises the Lord. But she just said, everything's under the blood. Everything, she screeched it. Well, that night when he came home, I told him, your mother's been to a fortune teller. That's what was on you. And so he had to pray for me to get it off of me. You see, it's hard to understand and learn how to keep these things off because they try to come back. So you got to really, we need some teaching on that before this week is over of how to keep your deliverance. And then somebody called Glenn, pray for Glenn. And then somebody called Glenn outside about something, and he said, I want to pray some more. And Lydia and him took me in their bedroom. Oh, well, my parents, too. we went to a family reunion, and we were all having dinner, all the family. And right in the middle of the meal, it just came out of my mouth, has anybody here been to a fortune teller? My mother said, oh, I have when I was 17 years old. I said, Brother Prince picked that up on me and said I was under that power of the fortune teller. What do you think she said? She said, she said she went when she's 17 years old, and she screeched. I mean, she screeched. Everything's under the blood. Everything's under the blood. The whole table went into total bedlam. My dad finally stood up and said, shut up. Everybody be quiet. There was a lot of relatives there. And he said, now maybe this does have some credence. I was always kind of his pat anyway. And he was going to defend me a little bit. He said he had a Ouija board when they were kids. I'd never seen a Ouija board. But anyway, he kind of halfway believed it, I think. But my mother never did believe it. She died without believing it. without wanting any deliverance. But then they took me back, and Brother Prince then took me back to, in the bedroom. I'll finish that story, and then this is my last story. I've got to sit down. I'm losing my voice. I'm tired. And he started calling out certain things, and he called out a spirit of forgetfulness. Well, the Lord had really, really given me a wonderful mind, and I could remember, especially all the people I worked with for 13 years, the poor gospel businessmen. I would remember their names, where they were from, and who they were, and I would tell Glenn, and he used to ask me, who is that, who is that? And I finally told him, you're wearing out my brain. But anyway, that spirit of forgetfulness threw me all over that bedroom. And he kept talking to it and quoting scriptures to it, and he said, what do you do to her? And he said, we're locked to her brain and we're not coming out. And it was right back here, and it was hurting. And they'd pull me back up on the chair, and they'd come against it again, and I'd be flopping around all over the floor, and I could not, it was like I was watching it all go on, but I had no control over this. And so, I think it's because of the shock treatments that I had when I was had the nervous breakdown. That's all I can account for. And he finally asked it, how do you affect her? And it said, we won't let her believe the word of God. We won't let her remember the word of God. We, meaning there was more than one of them in there. And he really got down to business of praying, and that thing bowed to Jesus, and it had to come out. And that was the hardest deliverance I think I've ever had, but I've had a lot of them. And I praise the Lord. Jesus is our deliverer, and if we keep calling out, he's going to keep delivering us. Is that right, Brother Golden? Deliver us from all evil. Say that Lord's Prayer every day, and he's going to deliver us. He wants to deliver us. He's working on us constantly, all the time, to deliver us out of the hands of the enemy, because we're in warfare, and it's a battle. And it isn't easy, but hang in there. Hang in there. Every one of you that's had a lot of deliverance this week, hang in there, because there's victory in the name of Jesus and in the blood of Jesus. And the main thing is to repent. Repent, repent, repent.
Well, we're going to work on forgetfulness and unbelief, and then we'll have supper. I got roast beef for us and mashed potatoes and gravy and corn on the cob, all those good things. Amen. But, okay. Are you ready? Praise you, Jesus. Praise you, Jesus. Father, come in the name of the Lord Jesus. Take authority in Jesus' name. Father, I take dominion over all the spirits that will be affected here this afternoon, and I bind them in the name of the Lord Jesus. Bind them to the day of judgment. Ask for the angels of the Lord that are here to bind them and take them until Jesus shall judge them. I thank you for it, Father. I thank you for it. Father, I ask that you reveal to anyone here who has anything that's abominable in their homes, and you show it to them. They will repent of it, and they'll destroy it. They'll not sell it or give it away. They'll destroy it. I thank you, Lord, for that. I praise you for it. Help there to be an understanding, Father. I come against any rebellion, against anything that they've heard today. I break that any spirit of rebellion over them, and I loose them to a desire to walk before the Lord in righteousness and holiness, that the word of the Lord shall be the path and the light for them, and that they shall say that tell Satan that it is written, and that shall be their what they stand up on and what their basis is for whatever they do, for all of us, that it is written. We thank you for it. Now, Father, I come in the name of the Lord Jesus against the spirit of forgetfulness, that spirit that keeps us from being able to remember the word of the Lord or remember what we've heard or what you've done for us. I come against that spirit of forgetfulness here this afternoon, and I command it in Jesus' name to come out of these people. I come against anything that gives it a right to them. Whether it's been inherited or something that has come because of what they have done, or for whatever reason it has a right, I come against it, and I put the blood of the Lord Jesus to cleanse and to take away the right that this spirit would have. You spirits of forgetfulness, it keeps us from remembering the word of the Lord, keeps us from remembering anything. I come against it in me and in every one of us here. And I break its assignment against us. Come out of them. Come out of us in the name of the Lord. You spirit of forgetfulness, we will remember the word of the Lord. We will remember what we hear. We will remember what's taught. We will remember and be able to use it for the glory of the Lord. You spirits of forgetfulness, come on out. Come on. You have to leave. I break your assignment. We will remember the word of the Lord. I rebuke you. In the name of the Lord Jesus, it is written that Jesus said that he gives us authority over the evil spirits and demons to cast them out. I take that place of authority as priest of this place this afternoon, and I command you to obey. Come out of us in the name of Jesus. Every spirit of forgetfulness, I break your assignment over our minds. I break your assignment. We will remember the word of the Lord. We will remember it. We will be able to say, it is written. And I thank you for it, Father. Father, I go clear back to being a child, as a little child, not being able to remember things in school, not being able to remember even what you were told. I break that assignment that Satan had, you evil spirits. I break your assignment in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. Just as Jimmy testified last night that the bondage was broken over him and he can remember now and he can read. And I loose these people this afternoon so that they can remember that which they hear and that which they read. I thank you for it, Father. They'll be able to maintain and maintain it. Father, I thank you for it in Jesus' name. Now, I also come against anything that's in our subconscious mind that we would not need to have there. I put the blood of Jesus to wash and to cleanse from our subconscious mind the things that are not of God. I ask, Father, that the blood of Jesus be applied to the subconscious mind to erase and eradicate these things that we have gotten in there from childhood that are not of God. So some of us that are tormented with us, and the spirit of blasphemy that comes sometimes, I break the curse of it, and I come against the spirit of blasphemy. I command it to come out in Jesus' name. I break the assignment of it. These things that are in our subconscious, that sometimes we have flashbacks to them. I put the blood of Jesus to cleanse and to wash our subconscious mind. And I bind that spirit of remembrance. I break the curse of it in Jesus' name. The spirit of recall. I break your power. Take your power away and break your assignment over God's people this afternoon. Spirit of recall. I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. Spirit of blasphemy. The Lord rebuke you. I break your assignment over God's people this afternoon in Jesus' name. Thank you, Father. Now, you foul spirit of unbelief, you spirit of unbelief that keeps us from believing, I come against you in the name of the Lord Jesus, you strong man of unbelief. I bind your power and break your assignment over God's people. Come out of us in Jesus' name. Spirit of unbelief, the scripture says, if thou canst believe, and also is written, Lord, help thou mine unbelief. Father, I come against the spirit of unbelief in the name of the Lord Jesus today. I break the assignment of it over our lives. We will believe the word of God. We will stand and say that it is written. We will believe that we're healed. We will believe that the Lord is our protection and care. We will believe that the Lord will take care of us and look after us. We will believe these things. We will believe that we're healed. We will believe that we're delivered. We will believe. Spirit of unbelief, I rebuke you. The Lord rebuke you. I break your assignment over us here today. I loose us from the spirit of unbelief so that we can believe the word of the Lord, so that we can believe the things that God has for us, and that we can retain it. I release us from it. I break the assignment of it over our lives in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Now I bind these spirits. If some of them are still there, I bind them and command them in Jesus' name that they're going to have to come out and that they're going to set us free. I thank you for it, Father. Father, I thank you so that we can be able to believe when we pray for people, that we can believe for them that they're healed or delivered or whatever the need is. Father, help us to be able to believe for those that we pray with or that we, whatever the need may be, that we can believe for them, Father. Help our unbelief. And I thank you for it, Lord. I praise you for it. I thank you for it, Father. Amen, amen. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. Praise you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Anything else that... Yes, sir, Captain Jackson? Beg your friend didn't hear you. Mm-hmm. Is there anybody here who has not received the Holy Spirit who would like for us to pray for you? No, we'd be glad to. Amen. You know, when you come here like this, especially in the afternoons like this, if there's something that... Don't be bashful, because this is... The afternoons are basically open for deliverance and for whatever the need might be. And if something is stirring in you that you would like to have prayer for it, why, feel free, especially right now, to ask. Yes, Doc? Bitterness, loneliness, and unforgiveness. Unforgiveness is a major, major, major problem. Yeah, and it's very hard for some people to deal with unforgiveness. But the Lord says, if you don't forgive, I won't forgive. And He also says that if you don't forgive, I'll send the tormentors. And the tormentors are the demons. So it's very important that we forgive everybody in any way. And it's very easy to sometimes to have unforgiveness or bitterness against somebody that does something real bad to you. And here at the campground, we have to watch that all the time, because there are so many things that happen here. You will stay around here a couple of months and know some of the things that go on, and it'd be very easy here for some of us to become have unforgiveness or bitterness over things that happen. There are multitudes over the years of things that happen here at the campground. People come against us. People belittle us. People make fun and yes, and if you, but we have to not. We have to erase it. Say, Lord, we give it to you, because. And if you ever, the Lord ever, you work in this type of ministry, Lord, give you a forgiving spirit and a forgetting spirit. Forgiving and forgetting. Now, there are people who come and they don't want to be prayed for because they're afraid that what's going to happen. You know, we pray for hundreds of people. And so help me, there's very few that I can actually recall. I can recall something that happened, but to recall who the person was, I cannot tell you who the person was. I don't suppose I can count on both my hands the people I can tell you who the people were, the things that have happened here. Because we pray, we forget, and that's it. Unless it's something that the Lord impresses in our memory, like it's between you and the Lord. And He's just used us and you as a vessel that you can be free from it. But the Lord, the reason that the Lord sets you free from these things is that you'll be a better service and servant unto the Lord. That's the purpose. It's wonderful to be free from your problem. That's wonderful. But the reason that the Lord wants you to be free is so that you can serve Him better than you have before and be a better witness and a testimony of what the Lord does and is doing. Well, let's come against this bitterness and unforgiveness. Father, I come in the name of Jesus. Take dominion over the spirit of bitterness and unforgiveness. And also, Lord, help them to be able to forgive. I come against the spirit that keeps them from being able to forgive. And the bitterness that they hold in their heart, I come against that spirit. Now, Lord, help them to truly be able to forgive and forget. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. Regardless of what the circumstance, who the person was, or what happened, help them to be able to forgive and then to forget. To be remembered no more. For you, Father, said that you it's removed as far as the east from the west. And that means it's out into eternity, because the east and the west never shall meet. And that it's buried in the deepest sea. So, Father, we thank you that you don't remember, and so neither should we. And, Father, we ask you that the spirit of forgiveness can flow through them. Unforgiveness, I bind you. I break your assignment over these people, and I loose them from unforgiveness. Now, Father, I impart forgiveness unto them, and you, spirit of bitterness, I rebuke you. Bitterness, I rebuke you. You've heard this, the remark, green with envy. Well, that is a true statement. I can give you a testimony of a true statement of bitterness that was held by a person, but the doctor found they had a spot on their liver, and when they were prayed for forgiveness was brought, and the bitterness was gone away, the spot disappeared from their liver because it was bitterness, green with envy and bitterness. Lord, I come against envy, any envy. I rebuke that. I break the assignment of it. Any envy, envious of somebody else's ministry, or envy that somebody else has something, envy over somebody's has some clothes, or envy over somebody's job, or in any way, I rebuke that spirit, and I break the assignment of it over these people today in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Lord. Loneliness, spirit of loneliness. Come against that. Loneliness and sorrow. Sorrow and loneliness go together. I come against grief and sorrow and loneliness. I break the assignment over these people. Jesus is the one that we come to take away the loneliness. We come that He comes to be our companion. In spirit of loneliness, I rebuke you. I break your assignment over these people, and I loose them from bitterness and loneliness and sorrow. I break that assignment over all of us in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you. Thank you, Lord.
Tiredness?
Yes. We can, all of us that have been here since last Friday, we can use that. Father, I come against the spirit of tiredness. I rebuke tiredness over us, and I ask for the spirit of might to come into us. Envelop us with the spirit of might, Father. Replace that tiredness in us in Jesus' name. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. Thank you for it. Thank you for it. And Father, I speak to Bill's throat, a refreshing to his throat, Father, so that he can continue in praise and worship unto you. I know he does in his spirit, Lord, but we loose his voice. Lord, I loose his voice and his throat. I rebuke it over his throat. I speak restoration to his throat in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Now, Father, I thank you for the Holy Spirit to come and fill every area of every vessel today that's been vacated in any way by any of these spirits. I thank you, Father. I thank you for the Holy Ghost here to fill our vessels. To fill us so there's no place vacant for anything to return to. Find that there'll be no house found swept and clean to return to, but it'll be full of the Holy Ghost. I thank you for it, Father. I praise you for it. I thank you for the Holy Ghost to fill every area of us in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord. Well, let's stand and be dismissed. Father, thank you for the good food that's ready for us. Thank you for hearing our petitions today. Thank you for answering all the prayer requests and all the needs, Father, that were prayed over at noon today. And all that still are here, we thank you for hearing and answering our needs in Jesus' name. And I bless the cooks and the food. Make it health to us. Amen. Amen.
This is the end of this message. Our website is www.LakeHamiltonBibleCamp.com and LHBCOnline.com. There are hundreds of free audio files there. It's like going to Bible school at home.